Before I begin, I'll just ask one question. If somehow or other you knew that you'd be stuck on a desert island and there'll be no electricity, because I don't want any wise answers, I bring my iPad, and you can only have one book, what book would you take and why? Satya Hari.
Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Why?
It's all there.
Okay. That's one reason. Anybody else have another suggestion? I hate it when they give me the answer at the beginning. But you were in the class before, so you should have waited.
I didn't know that in the class.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Chaitanya Charitamrita. One reason. It's the book that Prabhupada brought. He can only take really one book with him. Traveling to America, you can't. He took the Chaitanya Charitamrita because it comes after the six Goswamis. Who is the guru of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? Raghunath Das Goswami. So it comes after the Goswamis, and therefore it's the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it contains not only his life, but within the book, Krishnadas Kaviraj Rasika Bhakta Maj. Maj means the chief of all the devotees who can conceptualize and express rasa, the highest love, which is not just an intellectual thing. You have to have both a realization, and then be able to express it. In that verse, it says that Krishnadas Rasika Bhakti Maj, something. Even if the vibration of this book goes over a stone, the stone will melt. But I have no such attraction. And it's a summary of all the philosophy. That's why Prabhupada brought it. It has all the previous teachings of all the six Goswamis. Rupa Goswami's books are quoted extensively. This Sanatan Siksha, his instructions to Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Siksha, his instructions to Rupa Goswami, Ramananda Samvad, his discussions with Ramananda Roy, who is the most confidential associate, the story of Raghunath Das. It's just an incredible book in that way. And in that book is first found the Shikshastakam. No, actually not, but systematically as an astika, eight verses. They were previously found in a book called the Padyavali, which is an anthology of poetry by Srila Rupa Goswami, of all the verses. He took the verses at the time and he compiled them, including his own. And interspersed sporadically through that was these verses by Lord Chaitanya, the only verses that he actually composed, because he only lived 48 years. And after he got the Bhav, at the end of his 24th year, when he met his guru, he was transformed. Before that, he was actually a famous logician. He was a famous Nyayaka, logician. And after he got that, this through the Guru Parampara, coming from Ishwara Puri, who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who first introduced these very esoteric and deep teachings of Radha and Krishna and that deep understanding. So by Madhavendra Puri, that's the root of the Chaitanya tree, Madhavendra Puri, then his disciple Ishvara Puri, then Lord Chaitanya. And he gets this feeling from his guru, and then he leaves and he's traveling for 6 years. I can tell you one thing myself, which is a kind of ironic. I'm a sannyasi and I hate to travel. I mean, even when I was growing up here down the block or whatever it is, I remember going out and saying, nah, go back. Yeah, I just was not into traveling. And now that I'm a sannyasi, I'm still not into traveling. Because when you travel, especially in the modern age, it's hard to chant, it's hard to get regulated, it's hard to keep healthy, it's hard to write. So Lord Chaitanya was walking from place to place, and then at the end of 6 years, he retires to Puri to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, which is to become a devotee, to become the best devotee, to have those feelings, to have the love of his best devotee. God wants to become complete. And he can't be complete as the supreme enjoyer, because enjoyment is love, unless he takes the position of the devotee and experiences what love feels like for him, which is greater than the experience that he has in feeling that love. So for God to become complete, eternally he has to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although in the Leela, it seems sequential, just like the sun appears to arise and appears to rise in the morning, although the sun is eternally there at all phases of time. Right? The sun is always at noon. It's always at 1 o'clock. It's always, from one perspective, it's only our perspective. So from our perspective, it seems that Chaitanya is just a historical personality, but he's actually the manifestation of God eternally, for God to become complete in his enjoyment, which is love. And the story of Chaitanya is the story of God getting that love. So he travels for 6 years with that love, and now he wants to perfect that love, which means what? Perfect your devotion. And how do you perfect your devotion? You have to practice. You have to do bhajan. You have to practice very deeply. And what he did to practice that, you stay in one place. If you really want to practice, either in the morning or either daily or yearly or parts of your life, you have to stay in one place. Right? If you want to practice Krishna consciousness, even if you're in New York City and you're paying thousands and thousands of dollars for a few square feet, which can get you a huge mansion just 2 hours north, you still got to find your place. You have to have an asana. You have to have a place where you sit and you practice, where your asana becomes upasana, where your sitting becomes worship, where your sitting brings you close to God, where you can focus. I just came from upstate and I have a sitting place. And when you hear that mantra, it's so revelatory, it's so purifying, but hearing it, but actually hearing every syllable and feeling that vibration. So the last 18 years of life, he wanted to perfect his devotion. So he sat in one place and he worked at it. And he also wasn't writing. So in his whole 48 years, he didn't do much writing, even though he was a Sanskrit scholar. So He only had 8 verses. And somehow or other, at the end of his life, he was expressing these verses. He was expressing many, many verses. Because to facilitate the development of devotion, you need to imbibe the devotion that others have. And the devotion that others have comes from their heart, and it's expressed in poetry. It's expressed in verse. It's expressed in kirtan. One of the main ways in which we advance is when we associate with those who are advanced. Because when we associate with those who are advanced, what comes out of their heart is their love in another shape. It could be in the shape of kirtan. And therefore, if you sit in that kirtan with those people who have deep love, then the vibration, the kirtan, is their love expressed and embodied in sound. And it goes into your heart. And specifically, to get mood of devotion, they wrote poetry. Because love can only be expressed in poetry. Because poetry takes an emotion and not only intellectualizes it, it becomes it. And then when you hear it, it affects you. This is the theory of drama. Okay? If you need rest, you can take some rest and then come back. Okay? Okay. Okay. So, what? Okay, okay, okay. It's always needed. We always need, the whole Bhagavatam is poetry. The whole Bhagavatam is, our philosophy comes in poetry. And therefore, when we want to have a mood, because it's not, you know, when we chant Hare Krishna, the most effective chanting is when we're not just saying words, but our chanting has a voice, our chanting has our heart. That's effective chanting. Even Prabhupada said that when you are chanting, one way you can practice your chanting is to listen to the sincerity of your chanting. It shouldn't just be words are there. You should hear your own voice calling for God. So Lord Chaitanya, part of his practice was chanting and then hearing the poetry about the devotion he was aspiring for, and also saying verses himself. In fact, Arjuna, our friend Ram Shraddha, great soul in Mayapur, he comes when I give lectures and I ask him to do kirtan. But he says, because he's, you know, South Indian Brahmin, Prabhupada disciple for so many years, very learned in the tradition. He says, really, when you do kirtan, it's best to do a bhajan first. The traditional method, you do a song. Because the song will communicate the mood that the audience and yourself can add to that particular bhajan. So that was Lord Chaitanya's mood. He showed us, actually, his life was called the Acharya Leela. It was the pastime of a teacher showing us how we ourselves can get love of Godhead. And it culminates in him showing us how we practice. We chant the holy name because the holy name embodies all transcendental pleasure. And when we can open our heart by faith and clear the clouds of ignorance that cover our heart from experiencing God, then we will experience God. It will touch our heart and it will awaken within us it'll awaken within us our own spirit of devotion, which is the goal of life. Prema Pumartha Mahan, the goal of life is to have prema or love, and love means relationship. So if we want advanced, we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, we eventually have to have a relationship. That's why the deities are so important. When you get initiated, second initiated, it says the guru gives you Bhagavat Sarup Gyan. He gives you the form. Bhagavat Sarup Gyan means he gives you the form of God whom you're connected to. And Sambandha Vishesh Gyan, the specific relationship. And the way it's done, we know when we grew up in the Krishna consciousness movement, when you got second initiation, then you'd get the form of God in the particular temple Prabhupada established. It's amazing. Because the six Goswamis, they were so exalted souls, they established different deities. Prabhupada established deities in every continent of the world to give the whole world a chance to develop a relationship with God, and therefore to develop a relationship with the name, which is none different than God. You look at the form, it's the form of the name you're chanting. You hear the stories, it's the stories of the person whose name you're chanting. And this way, in relationship with God, your focus, your attention, and therefore your perception becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. And therefore you feel it more and more and more. You know, I'm so glad that you're hearing, actually. I was just testing you. Okay, you're reading my lips. Okay. So, this was the mission of Lord Chaitanya. His mission was to taste and distribute. Because when you taste, you develop faith, and you develop faith that this is the most wonderful thing. Then you can have compassion. If you don't have taste, you can't have compassion, because you'll have a different faith. And the people out there will have more than you. They'll have the bigger car. They'll have the better, you know, partner. They'll have the bigger house. And you'll become envious of them rather than compassionate. But when you have taste, when you have deep taste for Krishna consciousness, and realize that this is the highest thing, then it manifests in a compassion. So this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. We're going to read the last chapter a bit. Is that he's cultivating, cultivating, and cultivating this, and he's fulfilling his mission. He's beginning to experience the highest love, which is the sentiment of his topmost devotee, Sri Radha, at the height of her love. And when he begins to experience it, then he also wants to give it. Very interesting, Prabhupada's mission. I remember, you know, generally people look at it, well, you preach Krishna consciousness and you distribute books and you develop your Krishna consciousness and that will give you your eternal relationship with God, which is true. But in our line, the practice is also the goal. It's just you do it for a different reason. You chant Hare Krishna to get love of Godhead, and when you get love of Godhead, then you chant Hare Krishna as the expression of your heart and your desire to share that with others. Remember in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said that when you develop your eternal, uniquely Prabhupada, not uniquely, but Prabhupada's bhava, mood, when you develop your eternal relationship with Krishna, by spiritual impetus, you try to give that to others. And look at Prabhupada's example. His example was he was in Vrindavan. And the love of Radha and Krishna staying there in the Radha Damodar Mandir, which is the center of the Ras Lila. It's right next to Seva Kunj. It's the place where the highest devotion is being experienced, where the highest mood of service is being experienced. And there, meditating by spiritual impetus, then it's distributed. Same thing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu many times in his life. Because when he came back after getting initiation from his guru, and he was completely transformed, because his initiation was the full, he's God, he must be the most serious devotee when he gets into it. So when he commits himself, then he really opens himself up to the mood and heart of his guru. And Ishvara Puri's heart becomes transferred. Vishuddha Sattvam, Vasudeva Shabditam. The highest spiritual consciousness is called Vasudev. Vasudev is Krishna's father. So Vishuddha Sattvam, Vishuddha, the most pure, Vishuddha Sattvam, the most pure consciousness, Vasudeva Shabditam. It's called Vasudev consciousness. Why? Because how did Krishna appear? He appeared to the consciousness of Vasudev. And how did was he transferred to Devaki, the mother, through the mind? That was considered initiation. This is in the Shastra, I'm not making this up. The consciousness came by his purity. Vasudeva, the consciousness of purity is called Vasudeva, and then it's transferred to the mind. It's initiation. It's a transfer of that consciousness. So, this is an exceptionally long introduction today, and different days take my system. It's always been my system. Is before you discuss anything deep, you have to discuss tattva, you have to discuss this philosophy. And then there comes a point where Krishna says, okay, you can give them more. And that was Prabhupada's system. So, what we're going to do now, I'll get into the subject, is I'm going to read from the Shikshastaka prayers. And I'm going to do just like I do in Vrindavan. I read from Shastra. And we'll discuss the verses, how the Shikshastakam prayers were born, and then we'll go into today's verse. Okay? Only the most fortunate will relish the mad words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which were mixed with jubilation, envy, agitation, submissiveness, and grief, all produced by ecstatic, loving emotions. So, this is the introduction, that Lord Chaitanya is in a very, very high consciousness now. This is the end of the Shikshastaka. He's beginning to experience what he came for. And his body is exploding with all these emotions that come when prema or love comes into your heart. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus resided at Jagannath Puri, he was completely overwhelmed night and day by separation from Krishna. So this was his mood. This is what he wanted to experience. He wanted to experience the love of his topmost devotee at the height of her love, which was her separation. So now this separation or that love is becoming so intense. Day and night, he tasted transcendentally blissful songs and verses with two associates, namely Srup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy. So these are his most confidential associates. And they're helping him. He's chanting and chanting and chanting. And they're singing songs, mostly Srup Damodar, who is the greatest kirtan singer who ever lived. And Ramananda Roy was telling the stories. And that mood of devotion, he was hearing the stories and songs of the person whose name he was chanting. And out of love, because this is bhakti yoga, our meditation or focus is not just by willpower, it's by a connection of emotion or love, which is the most powerful absorption. That's why bhakti is the highest process. So he's becoming more and more absorbed now. And he's tasting so deeply the highest love. He relished the symptoms of various transcendental emotions, such as jubilation, lamentation, anger, humility, anxiety, grief, eagerness, and satisfaction. He would recite his own verses, expressing their meanings and emotions, and thus enjoying tasting them with these two friends. So from this heart of what he's experiencing, because what is poetry or anything that's creative begins with an inspiration. If the inspiration is not there, doesn't matter how talented you are, you can't write anything of merit. And with kirtan, kirtan is when the bhav in the heart is expressed by the discipline of music. So we're there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's experiencing all these emotions. And we know generally what an artist is, but it's not generally coming from love of Godhead. An artist generally is a person who has a lot of emotions. A lot of times it's a person because they come from dysfunctional families or difficulties, and there's so much emotion that the only way you can deal with emotion is you have to put it out there and create something. It's the only way you can deal with emotion. Therefore, a lot of the greatest blues singers, a lot of the greatest poets, a lot of greatest writers, this churning with emotion. But previously, it's not because you were from a dysfunctional family, because you had such deep love of Godhead. Kind of shifted in modernity. But previously, those emotions were these deep devotional feelings. So what happens is you have to create. So Lord Chaitanya is experiencing the highest emotions, and he has to create. And these verses come out of his heart, which nourish his own emotions. And he'd recite them, and he would relish the taste. And he would stay at night. In great jubilation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now this is what comes from his heart, at the height of his love, "My dear Srup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, know from me that chanting the holy names is the most feasible means of salvation in this age of Kali." That's what comes from his heart. In this age of Kali, the process of worshiping Krishna is to perform sacrifice by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who does so is certainly very intelligent, and he attains shelter to lotus feet of Krishna. He's saying this because he realizes it. This is how he has attained this state of prema, by chanting the holy name. and by chanting the holy name in deeper and deeper and deeper expressions, deeper and deeper and deeper emotions. And this is what our life should be, practicing Krishna consciousness. We're chanting and chanting, lifetime of chanting, after time immemorial in the material world. And then we complain, what's going on? Where is it? I've been here for 10 years. Where are the fireworks? I'm giving up. It doesn't work. So, this is what he's expressing. And what he's going to express in the Shikshastakam is his experience of chanting the holy name, the mood of chanting the holy name from the beginning till the end. That's what the Shikshastakam is. Through all the stages of devotion. And it's, and you know, there's something I read in the Yoga Sutras that's very interesting, is that when you get to higher levels of meditation, you never just go right to samadhi. It's like starting a car. You don't start the car in fourth gear. It builds up. So even in advanced practices, when you're meditating, it builds up. So he's just going to show first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear, eighth gear. He's going to show the different gears of chanting and what someone feels. That's what the Shikshastakam is, which somehow or other I'm so spaced out today that we, because I came by train. Previous days I was staying here. So you get up in the morning, you go to the train station, you sleep on the train. Get in a taxi, and I have a real weakness. I just talk with the taxi driver the whole time. Complete pajalpa. Complete idle talk. Just can't help it. I was born here. I just start talking to the taxi driver. So, okay, this year, this time we'll chant the Shikshastakam prayers at the end, so we won't miss them. So now, he's not only expressing himself, but he's also going to chant verses that express the mood in his heart that is have already been written. And then he chants a verse, which is very interesting, because it's about the holy name, but it's also a prediction of his appearance. So some people say that in this mood, when he was chanting this type of verse, is when the disciples realized that this is who he is, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga. So he chants the verse. It's a very famous verse. Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam. Krishna Varnam. Varna means like category or quality. He is the category of Krishna. Twisha Krishnam. But Krishna also means black. So Twisha, his color, his complexion, Twisha Akrishnam, it's not black, he's golden. Sango Pangasta Parshadam. And he's coming with his associates and his confidential companions, who are his astras, they're his weapons. Because usually when a Yuga avatar comes, they come with different weapons, like Ram came with his bow. Balaram came with his club. Krishna came with his disc. And he came with his weapons. His weapons were his associates. He comes with all his great associates. Yajnai Sankirtanap, and he comes to do the Sankirtan Yajna, Yajantihi Sumedhasaha. And intelligent persons will take to this. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord Krishna, one can be freed from undesirable habits This is the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love of Godhead. And then the Shikshastra comes from his heart, beginning with the verse Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. So I want to get to the next verse, but I think I should review this and just explain something very interesting. There's one book written by Bhaktivinod Thakur. I'm going to speak a little bit from that book. It's very interesting. Bhajan Rahasya. Rahasya means very secret, and Bhajan means your spiritual practice. And what he did is he made a commentary on the Shikshastakam. And what he did for his own meditation and his own chanting, he would quote one of the verses from the Shikshastaka. Astaka means eight verses. And then he would elucidate the meaning of the verse with so many other verses for Shastra. 20, 30, 40 verses explaining all the meaning of the particular verse. And then he said that this is how he would do his spiritual practice. He would chant Hare Krishna and then chant these verses, which would give him the mood of the particular verse, which is a mood of, this is chanting the holy name. It's the mood of Shraddha or faith. Why is it the mood of faith? Because Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan, supreme glory, it means it's the highest thing, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, to do the kirtan, Sankirtan, quantitatively, Sankirtan, complete with others, chanting loudly. Sun means also qualitatively, in a mood of devotion, not just obligation, and not just chanting any kirtan, but the name of Krishna, which is the fullest revelation. God has many names, but when you say Krishna, it's his personal name, and the personal name indicates all aspects of someone, including their intimate side. Otherwise, father indicates one aspect, boss indicates one aspect, a nickname, you're a joker, indicates another aspect of you. So you may have different activities, names, but when you say your personal name, it's the most intimate and fullest revelation. And Sri Krishna Sankirtan, Sri is beautiful Krishna, or it also can mean Radha Krishna, or the mood of Radha, which is how he actually chanted, because he came to have the mood of his devotee. So this Sankirtan that he was chanting was the mood of Radha's love for Krishna. And then he explained the different glories when you do this. And there were seven glories. We mentioned this last time. There's a Facebook page, group, and you can understand that. But as remember, every single glory represented a different stage of devotion. We put that in the Rati, did you give me that. Well, maybe I don't have it. Rati, you give me another one of the different. We gave you one sheet, Rupa Goswami's verse. He said there's different stages where faith deepens. It begins with appreciation, Shraddha, and then the appreciation increases so much, it's so good, right? Faith is your trust and where unflinching trust in what's sublime. It increases. And when that increases, then what happens? You take the association of devotees. When that increases, it's so good, you begin to practice. And then it's so good, you give up those things that have no value. It's so good. So all these stages were mentioned. And what Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed is that this indicates all the different stages of chanting. Finally, Sarvatma Snapanam, where you're bathed in Krishna. You're bathed in Krishna's love. And the Acharyas describe that as Odharya, unlimited magnanimity, where all your senses are seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, smelling Krishna. They're all, it's described in one Shastra, the soul comes in the spiritual world and sees Krishna. And then he sees him with all his senses. Then he faints. Then he hears Krishna's sonorous voice. He hears Krishna with all his senses. And then he becomes, finally, with all his senses, he hears. So they're different levels. And they all correspond. One, in a commentary on Bhajan Rahasya, I got this diagram. You see, so what Bhaktivinoda, it showed how Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanted. You see, when you chant, anything you do to concentrate will fix your mind at a higher level of concentration. So if you just concentrate on the first syllable, Hare Krishna, your mind will go to a higher level of concentration that will carry over. So the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur would chant, it's very interesting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So every one of the verses in Shikshastakam and the different glories of the holy name and the very different stages, Hare Krishna. So he would think, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam, Bhava Maha. He chant with the faith. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna, he would chant in the mood of faith that this is the highest thing. And then, so anyway, I'm not going to explain it. It's a little bit too much now. But you see, every syllable of the mantra had a different level of devotion, a different level of faith, and represented a different glory of the holy name. Some commentators we haven't found in Bhaktivinoda Thakur then also related to the different verses of Shikshastakam. But, and there would be two levels of chanting. Before you actually had that bhava, that real deep understanding of your relationship with Krishna, then you would chant the names and you would meditate on chanting in different levels. But then when you had bhava, which is, I think, let's see if I can explain this clearly. But when you had bhava, you really had that deep devotional mood. Then the eight verses also represented Krishna's pastimes at different times of the day. So at different, because the idea is at a very advanced stage of bhajan, you should be chanting all day long. And to help you chant, you would meditate on Krishna's pastimes. And you would meditate on Krishna's pastimes according to what Krishna was doing at the particular time of the day. So he would chant, Hare Krishna. And then it would be, the Nishant Leela. If he's chanting between 3:30 and 6, Krishna has particular activities at that. And he would remind himself, Hare Krishna. And he would be meditating on that Leela. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he would really just focus and fix his mind by chanting the first syllable very deeply, and then he would be meditating on that Leela. And at every time of the day, then this Hare Krishna, then it's the next time of the day, which is the, oh, I should know this, Pratalila, 6 to 8:30. There's different pastimes and different activities. And then he would be meditating. So in this way, he revealed how he used these for his own worship, his own meditation. But as we remember, this is faith. This is the highest thing. And this is why. And by meditating on this verse, and then he had 30 other verses to in his book, by meditating on that, you get faith. And faith fixes the mind. The degree that you have trust is the degree that you put your mind or effort on something. And how do you get faith? You hear the Shastra from people whom you have faith in or books that you trust. And you would hear that very, very deeply. So this would just be a first example. He'd chant, Hare Krishna, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. The holy name cleanses the heart. It has so many glories. It's so important. And I can tell you, just this is personally, my chanting has improved so much studying for this every day in the morning. Going over the different books, reading, meditating on it. My chanting has improved so much. Because Chaito Darpana Marjanam cleanses the heart. Bhava Maha Devagni. The Vapanam, the fire of material existence is going. Shrekayava Chandikavita. The auspiciousness is coming. The holy name is coming to your heart. Like a white lotus, the heart is blossoming, white in purity. It's blossoming in your devotion. Vidyavadu Jivanam. And it's from it comes, it's the life of all knowledge. And what's the life of all knowledge? Your relationship with Krishna comes. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. It increases the ocean of ecstasy, which is the realization of that. So in this way, step by step, Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught us in our spiritual practices too that by hearing the glories of the holy name, our faith will increase, our focus will increase. And our faith will increase from that focus. Anyway, I'm going to go on to today's verse, okay? I'll stop. Are there any questions? It was a little bit high. I tried to make it practical. Yes, Gail?
Every last thing you said, you pointed to the bottom, I think.
Yeah.
How long you pointed to Sri Krishna
Sankirtana? Yeah.
He said, and the reason for that is because of over preceding.
Well, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna means all glories to the most glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And why? Because it cleanses the mirror of the heart. It extinguishes the fire of material existence. It hits your heart and Shreya, all auspiciousness comes. In other words, you start to get a taste for devotion. All this happens but because chanting the holy name.
Yeah. And also, yeah. You said that, yeah. You're saying that, you know, by meditating,
yeah,
on the,
you know, there's no hard and fast rules, but this is what his practice was. I'm glad you made that point. His practice was, and come on in. Okay. Hi, Bo. Hi, Bo. This was his practice. And I'm just saying, I try to apply whatever I hear, and I feel that, you know, to concentrate, you have to put that concentration someplace. And I'm just saying, this was just, he revealed his own method of worship, that he would focus on a syllable so that would fix his mind for the whole mantra. And at different levels, he either related to a the particular time, I guess, he was chanting related to a particular time of the day of Krishna's pastimes, so facilitated meditating on those pastimes, or it facilitated meditating on a particular level of faith, right? Just the first verse is just explaining Shraddha, faith, because all the glories of the holy name are there. So if you can chant Hare Krishna and just in your mind think of all the glories that are mentioned in the holy name, it will help you focus your mind more intensely on it. There's no hard and fast rules. The main thing in chanting is to concentrate on the holy name. And when you concentrate on the holy name, perception is dependent on attention. So when you can concentrate on the holy name, you will feel the holy name. And if you don't concentrate on the holy name, then your heart is covered from that perception by your own ignorance. By anartha, that which has no value, are those things which distract you from that.
So it's not that you should be focusing on the holy name and focusing on the glory.
No, the whole thing is to focus on the holy name and hear the holy name. But within the holy name is the Lord's pastimes, quality, etc. It's a very natural thing. This was very advanced. But something to focus your mind. So you can take a veil of things that help you focus your mind. Otherwise, we don't focus our mind. Otherwise, it's the airplane spinning, buzzing around. That's the nature of our mind. So fix the mind. And no hard and fast rules. But I'm just saying, this was the way he would do, he expressed his inner bhajan, his inner practice. And at a level of bhava, when you actually have a relationship with Krishna, and you can chant at the level of, because the name is not different than Krishna, so his pastimes are there, his qualities are there, you are there also in your eternal relationship. So to help focus the mind, one of the syllable, the time of day it was, related to a syllable and a pastime of Krishna. Like that. So, this won't be on the test. Okay. Now, we'll go to today's thing. And I'll just read more what happens, because you'll see what spiritual practice means. It means a deepening of humility. A deepening of true humility. Because to the degree you have pride is the degree that you take yourself out of the line where Krishna's mercy flows. Because one place that Krishna's mercy doesn't flow is where you're in the center. So it's a deepening of humility. And with that deepening of humility, you're able to chant the holy name with more and more concentration. Humility means that you need it. The more you need something, the more you focus on something. So we'll see. So what happens after this? He says, by performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material desires, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. So he's meditating on the glories of the holy name, what it can do, hearing, expressing it through Chaito, Dharpana, Marjana, what this holy name can do, bathe the self, Pratipatam, Purnamritsvadanam, tasting nectar, at every single step. There's nothing else in your consciousness but the holy name. When this happens, so many things happen. But then he reflects. He reflects on it. And he feels very, very humble. But I'm not experiencing this. He's also showing us that actually the more you get love of Godhead, the less you feel you have. It's just like the more hungry you get, the more you realize you need food. So the more your hunger for Krishna increases, the more you're realizing that want. Not artificially. And the more, like a glass of clean water, the cleaner it is, the more you can see the dirt in it. So like our heart, the more we have pride, the more we have desires, the more we have things, the less we see them. Like someone's very messy, they don't notice all the clutter. Right? But someone who's very clean, one little spot becomes a crisis. I'll tell a story for Arjuna. He'll appreciate it. I used to stay with Tamal Krishnamurti in Mayapur, in his room, you know? And he had this beautiful new couch, right? That it was so delicate, water stains it. I drip some water on it. I wouldn't have noticed. You know, it was a big crisis. It was a big crisis. I can go into other stories, but I won't now. So this is what happens. And this verse, so he's lamenting, and this humility awakens in his heart, and he begins to recite another verse. And this verse, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatarpita Nimatasmarnena Kala Etadrasi Tabakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaivam Indrisam Ihajani Nanuraja. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity. And therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You've invested all your potency in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So remember this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I believe he describes this as a continuation of Adau Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, then here is Bhajana Kriya and Anartana Vritti. This is how you practice. The way you practice is, first you have to see Tava Kripa Bhagavan, the mercy, how merciful God is, what his holy name is. Really understand that this is non-different than Krishna. Understand in the first verse what the holy name can actually do to your heart, that it's actually the greatest jewel. It's something that you can never earn by your own effort. If you think, I can achieve this by my own effort, then you don't understand what you're trying to achieve, because you can't purchase it. And if you think by my own effort, it's something much cheaper that you're thinking of. So when you hear that first verse and there's the glories of the holy name, Tava Kripa Bhagavan. It's this is what is Tava? Oh yeah. That you bestow Tava Kripa, you bestow such mercy to me. Why? Because I don't deserve it. And then, when you have that mood, and then you look at yourself and what your qualification is, and embrace your position and understand your position in relationship to what you, when you get mercy, it should make you humble. Right? If someone has so much money, or if you have just $100, someone gives you $200, that's mercy. If they give you $1,000, that's more mercy. If they give you $1,000,000, that's more. If you go to buy a car, right, and you only have like, here, I only got about $20 in my pocket. Okay, here. Take the Mercedes. That's a lot of mercy. Because there's such a discrepancy between what you're getting and what you're paying. And what will you feel for that person? Boy, this person is so kind. This person is so loving. So he's saying we have to chant in that mood. And the more we can appreciate the glories of the Lord, and the more, therefore, we can realize how unqualified we are for the thing we're getting, the more mercy we'll feel, which is love from above. And the more mercy we feel, the more love we'll have. And that's the next verse. Trinada pi sunichena, torora pi sahishnana, amanina, madanena, kirtaniya siddha. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. In such a state, one could chant always. Why can you chant always when you're humble? Because what's the only thing you can do always? It's love. Other things you can't do always, because they're not pleasurable. Besides love, every other activity, the happiness is what you're trying to get, not the activity itself. Therefore, gyan is not happy. Karma is not swaha, swaha, boring. Gyan, performing austerities, not happy. What you get is happy. Karma, you get, you know, the heavenly planets, that's nice. Not the yajnas for it, not the sacrifices, not the standing on one toe for hundreds of years. And again, the austerities and focusing the mind. That's not it. But what is that? Sasukam kartam avyam. Bhakti is blissful because the activity itself is pleasurable. And therefore, you can do bhakti all the time because you're not doing it for anything else. It's causeless. It doesn't have a motive. So how can you chant with love? When you're humble, you'll feel so much love in your heart for who has given you that love. And you'll chant in that mood. There's nothing more pleasurable than mercy. There's nothing more pleasurable than kindness and more kindness and more kindness, where your head bows and you feel so humble. I do not deserve. I do not deserve. And in that consciousness, you're feeling more and more and more and more devotion. So he's showing this is actually bhajan. This is how you practice. This is how you practice. So I gave a little overview. Now I'll go over the verse. Nam nam akari bahuda. You have many names. You have many names. And why does God have many names? Who can say? Yes.
God is unlimited.
God is unlimited. That's one reason. Jai?
It reflects the
variety of love of the devotee.
It affects the variety. It reflects the variety of love. Yes. What else? Just scratching your head. I just thought you were going to come up with some revelation there. Gail?
Yeah. Maybe it's the same thing as that, but I was going to say it represents the variety of his relationships.
Okay, let me read what Krishna Das Kaviraj says after this verse. Okay? Aneka lokera vansha aneka prakar kripate karila aneka namarapachar. Because people vary in their desires, you have distributed various names by your mercy. So it's a manifestation of God's mercy that we say we have different types of love. We're individual souls. There's something I read in one of the Shastras that God has a form of mercy for each individual person. And we have different proclivities. So God, by his mercy, wants us to be absorbed in him. That's the perfection of any yoga. That's why bhakti is the greatest yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena taratmanam shradhavam bhajate yomam. Of one who worships me with faith and devotion, I am the highest of all, because it's the most absorbing when it's from the heart. So the process of bhakti, the more you're absorbed in the name, the more you will advance in spiritual life. And because people are individuals, they're attracted to different aspects of God and therefore different names of God. And therefore they can become more and more absorbed in varieties of ways. So God is appearing with many, many different types of names. He has primary names. Primary names deal with his personality, like Krishna, Govinda, Madhava, Muralidhar. Then he has secondary names which deal with his position. Mr. President, Your Honor. So he has different names like that, which certain people relate to. Just like in love of a particular person, we appreciate different names. You know, maybe have like an old mother. Like you have a very, very old mother, not like Govinda Prem and Champak. That's Champak's mother, so this doesn't. She's still a little youthful looking. You have an old mother, and you go, "How you doing, honey?" It doesn't absorb you, right? Or you have guru, and you say, "Hey, bubs," you know, something like that. You know, it doesn't work. Different relationships where you have different names. So he's come in so many different names. And even the primary names, there's primary names of God as the creator, not just his position. Also, there's an Aishwarya and opulence, there's Madhurya and sweetness. So he has many names. So according, and this point of taste, it's the key to Krishna consciousness. That's why it says in the Nectar of Devotion, the spiritual master finds the ways and means to engage the disciple, because we're individual people. The whole key is absorption. And some people like deity worship. Some people like to distribute books. Some people like to sit down and chant. Some people like to cook. Your taste is so, in fact, when Lord Chaitanya was sitting before his guru, because he came to his guru, because when he met Prakasananda Saraswati, the great Mayavadi sannyasi, and they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting where the feet were washed, and they saw he was like 24 years old, and he was so beautiful and handsome, and he was known for his emotion. But sannyasi should be like this. But he was known for his emotion, crying, weeping, dancing like a madman. So they're saying, you're supposed to be a sannyasi, you're young, get yourself fixed up in Vedanta. Get your booty, get your intelligence fixed up, because the intelligence will control the mind. Don't stay on the emotional platform. Once you stay on the emotional platform, who knows what you'll contact in your heart? Study Vedanta. So he went to his guru. He said, you know, I'm trying to be a sannyasi, but I'm laughing, I'm crying, I'm dancing, I'm singing. He said, by chanting the holy name, and Lord, his guru said, that is the perfection of life. He said, if you want to attain the lotus feet of Krishna, continue to chant like a madman. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stevenat. Then he told him this verse. And then he said, I will now tell you a verse that's the essence of the Vedas. And Lord Chaitanya is just sitting on the edge of his seat. No, the essence of all the Bhagavatam. The essence of all the Bhagavatam. And he's studying the Bhagavatam. And he's just like the essence of all the Bhagavatam. And then he chants this famous verse. Evam vrita svapriya nama krita jatanu raga. Evam vrita means, refers to the previous verse, making a vow, evam vrita. What is that? To chant without attachment and without inhibition. At my Puri Yatra, one of my godbrothers comes every year, and he's done a lot of service for Prabhupada, and he seems to have no envy in his heart. And he's done a lot of management. He's involved in so many different management things. But when the kirtan goes, he just starts to dance. Always. His name is Pancharatna Prabhu. He begins to dance. Always. And I look at him, I say, yeah, without inhibition. He just begins to dance. And without attachment. Attachment for so many other things. I'm comfortable. Who says this? What's there? Who's there? This, that. Without inhibition, because Swapriyanam, the name of your beloved Lord. Of course, focus on an object is most pronounced by emotion. The most powerful emotion is love, and love is expressed in relationship. So chanting the name of God whom you have relationship is the most absorbing. And therefore, we chant the name of Krishna. We had the Ram Nomi Kirtan. I went to there, and they were chanting names of Ram. I loved it. Ananta was chanting names of Ram. But frankly, I was waiting for him to chant Hare Krishna. Because that's my Ishtadev. Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna. Of course, Ram was beautiful. I'm not putting down Ram, man. Who am I? But it's just, or chanting the names of Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those songs. Gauranga Karuna Koro. We sing that song. Parama Karuna Pahu Dwijana Nittai Gora Chandra. Sabhavatar Sarashiramani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Parama, these two are the most merciful. Sabhavatar, of all the avatars, Sarashir, they're the crest jewels. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Because they gave a process, Kevala Ananda Kanda. The kanda, the process, was only pleasure. And what is that? Bhakti. What is that? Kirtan. You want to hear an Andra story? No? Okay. Okay. So, this devotee I know very well named Mukunda Murari, his wife Divya, they're installing Gorni Taididis and they invite me and Iandra Prabhu. So Iandra says, I'll do the kirtan, you give the class. And then we'll both bathe the deities. So Iandra does the kirtan, Prabhu, and then I give the class and I'm singing this verse. And I say, Kevala Anandaka, a process which is Kevala Ananda, which is only pleasure. That's chanting the holy name, right? They gave kirtan. And then I spoke for about 15 minutes, and then Iandra made a comment for an hour and a half. And the comment he made is, with his eyebrows furry, you know, like looking at me like he can burn, Kevala Ananda. He's talked about Raganuga Bhakti. Because Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakti Sadma. Our guru in our line, they give things that is only bhakti. And what's only bhakti? It's spontaneous devotion, technically speaking. If you worship God in reverence, it's love, but there's obligation or duty that weakens the love. That's in CC. So really, Kevala Bhakti, the thing that's only bhakti, is Raganuga Bhakti. It's another subject here, but I told you the Iandra story.
That means without attachment.
Kevala means there's nothing else but love.
Uh-oh.
You see, when you worship in reverence, then there's an obligation because you're dealing with a superior.
I mean Raganuga means spontaneous.
Yeah, spontaneous. See, when you're dealing with a superior, there's an obligation. You have to.
Yeah.
And there's a fear. If I don't. Like if you come in, you don't pay your obeisances, what will happen if I don't do this? So there's just a little element of duty and obligation and fear that weakens the bhakti on the highest plane. This is not for us to understand. If we only had that love. So what Andrew is saying, when we say Kevala Bhakti, we mean when we're worshiping Krishna, with his, he's coming... As a boy, there's no obligation. He's coming as our child. It's spontaneous. There's no obligation. It's Kevala Bhakti. It's only bhakti. A little technical point, but... Okay, it's... And then, then, Nija Sarva Shaktis. And those names have all Shakti. And what does that mean? It means it's Krishna. The name has all Shakti. It's non-different from Krishna. There's there's one story that's told in the Puranas or something about Lord Brahma or something, or he collected all 330 million demigods. And he said, we're going to have a race. Whoever can circumambulate the globe three times, you know, gets the position of the top demigod. So they all start lining up, and they have their carriers. Well, Ganesh is like an elephant, and he rides a mouse. And he's fat. So he said, there's like no way I can win this race. You know? He's like, no way I can win this race. So I forgot, maybe he went to Narada Muni for advice. And Narada Muni said, here, look, when everybody assembles, you know, just put Krishna's name, write it in the sand, and go around with your mouse three times, and you win. Because Nijasarva, it has all potencies. It's more than just the universe. It's everything. It's God. So Nijasarva Shaktis. And there's so many verses, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhajan Mahasya, when he gets to this verse, there's about 30, 40 verses. Like, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Shuddha Purno Nityamukta, Binitvam Nama Namino. Nama Chintamani Krishna, the name of Krishna, Nama Chintamani, it's a touchstone. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, and it's the form of the life of all love. Shuddha Purno Nitya, it's eternally liberated. Shoot, it's pure. Binatam Nama Namino. And it's non-different from Krishna. So the name is completely non-different. There's other beautiful stories. I forgot one book, I forgot what it is, but Radha was in this complete anxiety because she got attracted. She thought to three different people. Someone sent Radha the picture of Krishna, and she just fell completely in love. And then she heard the flute, and then she fell completely in love. And then someone gave her the name, and she was going, Krishna, Krishna. She said, I'm doomed. I'm supposed to be a chaste wife. Already, you know, I have a husband, and now I got three other men. The guy who's blowing the flute, the name, this guy, Krishna, and the picture of this beautiful person. And the reason is they're all the same. The form of Krishna, the name of Krishna, non-different. But there's a difference. They all have all Shaktis. All the names have all Shaktis. But still there's a difference. And why is the name of Krishna best? Gail, you've listened to I count, there's 3,000 of my lectures. If you get it wrong, why?
Because it's the most accessible. You can take it anywhere with you.
That's one reason, yes?
It's Krishna's personal name.
Krishna, in one sense, it's the same person. Krishna means the full revelation of the person. The boss is not fully revealed. The person is,
The form of Krishna requires a level of purity to associate. Like, to associate with the deity, you need a certain ritual purity, or to see the actual spiritual form of Krishna, you need a certain purity. But the name doesn't have that same prerequisite.
That's good. The name. That's the name being better than the form. But the name of, the name is better than the form. It's more merciful than the form of, that's the point. The name is non-different than Krishna, but why is the name better? So that's it. Yeah, there's no, the other thing is, and I heard this, you remember, I think you really appreciated at the Puri retreat this year where we had one day honoring Dr. Fakir Mohan, who's coming every year to our retreat. And he told me one thing, because he was, you know, he lectured on this verse from Arundhaya Kirtan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the seventh verse is, this temporary material world is full of suffering. Chant the holy name of Krishna as your only business. And he spoke on it for 3 years. Every day for 3 years. He just couldn't get off that verse, speaking about the holy name. But one thing he said really nicely is, you have to go to Krishna, but the form, but the name comes to you. What Gail said, same thing. The name comes to you. So, yeah. Between the different names. This, Jai's point is the point that's made here, is that this is saying that it has all the Shaktis as Krishna. So, in terms of the names, all the primary names are beautiful. They're all expressing the beauty of Krishna. There's difference between the primary and secondary names. When you call someone Mr. President, there's a difference between a name that indicates a position and the name that indicates a person's personality. That's higher. But what Jai said is right, that this verse is indicating that it has all potencies, the name has all the potencies of God. But the name, there's the name and the form, but the name is better, because the name is more merciful. Because what's that verse? It says, Sankirtanaika Pitaro, because Krishna is the father of kirtan. Krishna is the father of kirtan. Lord Chaitanya is the father of kirtan. So it has a specific beauty because Lord Chaitanya, God himself, gave this. So it's a connection with him. Ram is not as intimate as Krishna. I have a quote here from the Padma Purana that Ram is superior to 100 names of Vishnu. Because Vishnu means God is all-pervading. Ram's more personal. But in the Brahmanda Purana, it says that one Krishna equals 3 Rams. So why is Krishna better than Ram? Because it's more intimate. If you have a relationship with Ram, I'll tell you a story. Ram's friends and Ram had a race, right? So the friends, Ramachandra and his friends are racing. They're all lining up. And they begin to race. And just as they're getting to the end, the friends let Ram win. But Krishna plays with his friends, and his friends try to defeat him. And sometimes Krishna loses. So why is that? Because with Ram, he's the king. And when there's the king, there's always some reverence. There's never full intimacy. But Krishna's not the king. He's just a cowherd boy. You can just play and reveal yourself intimately to him. You can only have 2.5 relationships with Ram. You can't have intimate relationships. You can be neutral. You can be the fan of Ram. You can be the servant of Ram. And you can be the friend, but not fully the friend. Because friendship is equals. You can never be equal. He's the king. Krishna, you can be superior. You can be the mother. You can tie up Krishna. Krishna has to follow your orders. So much here. Let me read a verse, because that's good. This is from Rupa Goswami's Nam Astakam. O holy name, we know that you have appeared as the transcendental form of Krishna, the Vachya, and his holy name, Vachaka. But of the two, the holy name is more merciful. For if one offends the Lord, one can be delivered from the reaction by loudly calling out his name, and thus always be immersed in the ocean of transcendental bliss. So if you make some seva aparad, you can chant the name. But you offend the name. That's more serious. Okay, then it says, Tatarpita Nimata Smarane Nakala. And in these, there are not even hard and fast rules for chanting the name. Because in all rituals, deity worship, Jai was mentioning that, chanting certain names of the Vedas, you know, sudras can't chant these names, there's some type of things are sacred and there's rule. There's no hard and fast rules. That's why when I mentioned Bhajan Rahasya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's not that that is the method to worship. There's so many ways that you can become absorbed. According to who you are, according to your nature, according to how your consciousness is transformed. I know some people, kind of yogic and intellectual, you know, just the hearing of every syllable, focusing their mind. Some people are more, their consciousness transforms more kinetically by feeling. They try to vibrate and feel the name. And some people are more from the heart. They try to think of the meaning of the name and like that. Some people are more visual. You know, they meditate on the form of Krishna and they look at the form of Krishna and meditate that that's the name of Krishna because the name and form are non-different. And then they meditate on the name and they think that this is Krishna's form. So different people have different ways of becoming absorbed in the name. But the main thing is to become absorbed in the name. There's no hard and fast rules of doing so. There's no particular time. Most spiritual practices, there's akshman, they have to purify yourself in so many ways. You have to chant so many mantras, be clean in a particular way, unless you take bath, unless you do this at this time of the day. And there's a famous story where there's this one young boy, and he was very, very elevated. I forgot his name. He had a long name. And everyone liked the boy because he seemed to be very, very serious. He's only 4 or 5. So Lord Chaitanya was going out to the fields to go to the bathroom. That's the way they used to do it in India. In fact, when Prabhupada went to New Vrindavan, my friend Bhurijan was there, and he was one of the first photographers in ISKCON, a lot of the early pictures he did. So he was New Vrindavan, he was taking Prabhupada's picture, and Prabhupada took the loader of water. He didn't know what he was doing, and Prabhupada was walking out to the field, and he was coming with the camera, and Prabhupada turned around and said, "Not now." So, you know, Arjuna, those pictures of the devotees, you know, by the New York Public Library, you know, those were all taken by Bhurijan. Yeah. So what happened is, Lord Chaitanya was going out to the fields, but what happens, and this is in classical meditation, if you can meditate enough in your life, in any meditation, it's a mechanical thing too, the mantra will go on automatically in the heart. I know when Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji, who Prabhupada said was Akinchana, Paramahamsa, and I used to visit him sometime. So then I found out that he was in the hospital. So I went to the hospital, but he had already left to go to Nandagram, where he passed away in Nandagram. And the doctor told me that when he put the stethoscope to his heart, he was hearing the holy name. Dr. Fakir Mohan told me before he died, he had 6 heart attacks, and he went unconscious. Each doctor told him, as he was unconscious, his lips were still moving. After chanting 64 rounds for 80 years, you know, chanting and chanting and chanting. It becomes, so Lord Chaitanya, he couldn't stop his lips from moving. So he was going to the bathroom, and the name is none different than Krishna, so he was holding his tongue. So this little boy saw him going. He said, "Why are you holding your tongue? What if you were going to die? You wouldn't chant the holy name?" And Lord Chaitanya kind of thought about it. He said, "You're right." He said, "Gopal," his boy's name is Gopal. He said, "From now on, your name is Gopal Guru." So the boy at the age of 4 or 5 got the name Gopal Guru. And he became one of the main acharyas in our line. He took initiation from Vakreshwara Pandit. Vakreshwara Pandit was famous in the Rath Yatra and his dancing, that he danced 72 hours straight without stopping. That's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he was a follower of Srup Damodar, and the exoteric process of spontaneous devotion was given by Srup Damodar to Vakreshwara Pandit, to Gopal Guru, who became the acharya at the temple in Puri, the Radhakant Mutt, where the king lived and where Lord Chaitanya spent the last days of his life in this little room called the Gambira. And there's a deity there of Gopal Guru. That's another story. So, and it says, no, not that, for also smarane, for remembering. Generally, when you want to do smarane, there's such a prerequisite for smarane, but even remembering the name, chanting the name, there's no heart and fist. So I'm going to take another 10 minutes. Anyone who has to go for some reason, I understand. But what happens in these classes is everyone comes, and to get everyone on the same level, after how many hours did you drive to get here today?
I flew.
Oh, you flew here. Yeah. You didn't even take your car. You flew here. But still, Zoom, then taxi. 7 a.m. So people come from different Holland Tunnel, right? So many things. I came from upstate, so to begin, it takes time. So I'm going to take 10 more minutes. So this is from the Skanda Purana, is it? Skanda Purana is by far the biggest Purana. It has over 70,000 verses. Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. So they say in India, when someone quotes a verse and they say where it's from and they don't really know, they say Skanda Purana. Skanda Purana. Skanda Purana. Because who's going to look at the Skanda Purana? There are no hard and fast rules as to where the name is to be chanted. It can be chanted in any contaminated place by any contaminated person. There is no restriction in time, place, circumstance, or purity. In all circumstance, the holy name fulfills all desires. Skanda Purana. Okay. Now, that wasn't the Skanda Purana. This is the one from the Skanda Purana. That was from the Vishnu Dhammottara. I offer my obeisances again and again to those who chant the holy name, even while sleeping, eating, waking, and rising up. So and then, Itadrasi Tapa Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi. We discussed that a little bit. Out of your kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by the names. Out of your kindness, out of your mercy. After Chaito Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam, Shreya Kairaiva Chandrikaranam, Vidyu Vadu Jivanam, the first verse, right? Sarvatma Snapanam, Pratipadam Punamristavarda, at every step, relishing nectar, this holy name, it bathes the self. But you are so kind. You are so merciful. You enable us to approach this. No, chanting Hare Krishna, sure. Anyone can chant. That's it. But he's realizing what this is. He's realizing it because he's experiencing it. And he wants to communicate this to us. That what we're getting is such a special thing. We have the best thing. We're not happy. We're not satisfied. We want so many things. But we got the best thing. You were highlighting it, right? Bryn, we'll fix it after the class. I know you have many mechanical skills. So he's expressing this. He's feeling this. And this is what's, you see, again I mentioned, the first verse is the glories. This is the mood. The Shikshastakam is the mood of realizing the glories of the holy name at different stages. So this is at the stage now of Bhajana Kriya. We have faith that you want to practice. We have faith that you want to get rid of. But But what? Dur daivam. What is daivam? Destiny. What is dur? Bad destiny. But we have bad destiny. And what's the worst bad destiny you can have? What's the worst thing that anyone could have?
Not to chant the holy name.
But why? Because of anarthas. The worst destiny is anarthas. Asat Trishna. You have thirst for those things which are not real. You have intense... Here they are, dalbyam. You have weakness of heart. Sarup Brahman. You have misconception about yourself. And aparad. Offenses. What is aparad? It's the things that express an attitude that distance you from God. Right? Upasana. Worship. Upa, near. Upa, far. From what? Radha. From Radha, from worship. Upa rad. Distancing you from worship. Durdaivam. I am so unfortunate that and offenses are caused by pride. Pride leads to envy. Envy leads to offense. There's nothing worse than offense. Of all the anarthas, aparad. Difference between bhava and prema, the two last stages, are traces of Vaishnav aparad. Nothing worse. Distance you. The worst suffering is when you're disconnected from the soul. When you do things that disconnect you from the soul. Because the soul is life, soul is eternality, soul is meaning. That's why people may have so much money, they may become so distant from the soul, they'll get depressed. The highest suicide rates in the world are in those countries which have the highest degree of promiscuity. The Scandinavian countries, they have different, have a lot of advantages initially. One of the advantages they have is they were all the same type of people. And why is that an advantage? A community and trust. It's bodily conscious, but it's a fact. You have trust, you're willing to give more, you can be socialistic, etc. As soon as there's someone different, keep it for myself, watch out. So these countries grew up very socialistic, a lot of charity, a lot of giving, but this conception of promiscuity disconnects one from the soul. And therefore, they have the highest degree of suicide rate, even though they have the best social conditions. It's a very interesting phenomenon. So, anarthas. They're things that distract you from your chanting. What distracts you from your chanting is that mood in your heart of hate, which is the opposite of desire. It distracts you. And when you commit an offense, it not only is a reaction to what you've done, there's a reaction in your heart. So, one, I don't know where I read this. It may be the Skanda Purana. I'm going to use that as an excuse now. Bhakti is very easy. Avoiding offenses is difficult. If you can avoid offenses, bhakti just progresses. It comes into the heart. The holy name appears. The holy name is not a mechanical thing. It's something that descends on your consciousness by your attitude. Krishna is there in the sil- that's the name is non-different from Krishna, but the extent that Krishna will appear in the name is to the extent that you've expressed your love and trust in him by your service, which means your attitude of service and your expression of service. That's how Krishna will appear in the heart. The name may be there. And if you have offense, if you offend the name, what happens when you offend a person? They shut off. Are there people that you shut yourselves off from because they've offended you? You just close your heart. So God closes his expression of himself to those who commit offenses. So Lord Chaitanya says, I have no attraction. And why? Because you're not experiencing God. Because God's not revealing himself. So you're not really fully experiencing the transcendental pleasure. So if you don't, then you say, oh, I'm committing offenses. But here's the good part. If you can admit this, then you'll start to feel the mercy of God again. If you can be in this mood, you'll experience the mercy of God again. Bhakti Sandarbha, very beautiful, it says, kirtan in the form of devotion is unlimitedly merciful to those who are devoid of false prestige. And then there's a commentary that therefore the demigods are lining up to come here because it's a place where you could really cultivate humility. You know, in Satya Yuga, the kirtan was still available, people didn't want to do it. It was available in Satya Yuga, but people didn't want to do it. It didn't become popular. People had to meditate. Why? Because they were so qualified. And when you're so qualified, you know, you want to show your prowess. When you're so qualified, you want something difficult. You know, you want the top yoga pose possible. You want the top. It's like, and some people you see, they come to Krishna consciousness, they want to fast all day. You know, they want a nirjal akadasi standing on my head because chanting Hare Krishna is too easy a process. So, this age is good for humility. It's good for you. So this is what he's saying. This should be the mood. This should be the mood of our chanting. I am so unfortunate, Hajani, from me is born Nanuraga, is Jani. It is born Nanu, no attraction. I'm so unfortunate. I commit so many offenses. No attraction. And that realization attracts the mercy of God. And what's going to happen after this? The humility will deepen and he'll feel it. Trinada P, the next verse, lower than a blade of a gibbon. And you can chant the names constantly, which will be, look at this convenient diagram. We'll show it again. See, it shows the couplet of the name. At Bhava, the Leela you'll chant at the time of the day that you're meditating, and which couplet of the name, which you'll, when you hear it, you'll remember that. And what stages of devotion? It's very nice. Just want to finish up with one thing, because I said 10 minutes and I am a man of my word. And at this time, it's always good to Remember the 10 offenses to the holy name? I won't discuss them. The next class, before we begin the third verse, I'll do them. But I just want to say one of them, sadhu ninda, criticizing. Ninda means to criticize the sadhus, especially those dedicated to the holy name. But the commentators say, api chet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyabak sadureva sama. Even those who are not pure, if they're dedicated to God, you have to be very, very careful. You know, I can see in Western culture, in the modern world, people are not careful with offense. They think if I throw the punch, but it stops at an inch from the nose, no offense. But the story of Rupa Goswami is so telling. Rupa Goswami was meditating. And in his meditation, because he's chanting the name, and like this, in different moods, and within the name is the form, the quality, the pastimes, and within the pastimes, his eternal form is there, and he's meditating, and he's seeing the rasa, and part of an indirect feeling of conjugal love, one of them is humor. There may be some joke between a boy and a girl, but actually it's an indirect feeling of the conjugal relationship or something like that. But anyway, or friendship, they may be joking, but it's an indirect way of experiencing their friendship. So he's in the mood of hasyaras. There's something that's very, very funny. I remember one time, again, I was with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I don't know what happened to me. It's the only time it ever happened to me, but we were reading from Lalita Madhava, a very high book, and there was some story with Madhu Mangal, who is Krishna's fat Brahmin friend. And you see, Krishna was, Radharani would go to worship the sun god in Suryakund. The place is still there. So she'd go to worship the sun god because her mother, the sun god, the sun represents the husband. So if you worship the sun god, it will lead to prosperity and good health for your husband. So Radharani's mother-in-law would take her every Sunday to worship the deity of Surya Narayan. But what Krishna would do is Krishna would go there first and he would dress up as the Brahmin priest. So Radharani's mother-in-law, Jatila, would come and say, can you do the puja, you know, with Radharani? Because the puja, she would have to go in the altar alone. And Krishna would say, I don't think that's proper. I'm such a strict brahmachari. And he would refuse. And then, of course, she would have to beg him. Somehow I found that's really hilarious at the time. I just couldn't stop laughing. I had to leave the room, and I was in the bathroom. I was going, ah, ah, it's so funny. So what happened was Rupa Goswami was laughing, and a disabled sadhu, you know, he had some kind of, you know, defect, maybe one leg shorter than the other, you know, and he was walking by. He was walking by, and Rupa Goswami was like laughing. And then his bhajan stopped. He couldn't continue his meditation. So he went to his guru, which is his older brother, Sanatan Goswami, and he said, what is the problem? What happened? He said, I know, if you're durdaivam indrisam ihajani nana, if you have no taste, Durdaivam, there must have been some offense. If you have no taste, ihajani, if born is no raga, Durdaivam, you're unfortunate. It must have been some offense. You must have offended some devotee. So you must have offended somebody. He said, well, what should I do? There's so many Vaishnavas. I don't know who I offended. He said, I'll tell you what to do. You hold a big Mahotsav. A lot of times in Vrindavan, they have big festivals. People just throw big festivals. In fact, one of my closest friends in Govardhan was a professional eater. Because when you go to a function, they don't want to make you feel you're gluttonous. You're a sadhu, you've come. So the person who hosts it, he has a big stack of money. And every sadhu that comes, they get 10 rupees or 20 rupees or 50 rupees, saying, the culture is so nice. You're benedicting me, you know, by coming. I'm not doing you a favor. So he would go around and eat at all these places. Amazing guy. He never gained a pound, and he could eat 4 or 5 times a day. And sometimes they do these ridiculous things where they cook down milk called rubbery. They give each sadhu. I've seen feasts in India. I just couldn't imagine what sadhus would eat. I couldn't imagine. I was sitting there, my mind was blown. 5 glob jobbins, 10 puris. They're devotees of Govardhan. They have that benediction. So he said, throw a festival. And who doesn't come is the person you've offended. And then you beg his forgiveness. Of course, there's a lot of things he didn't know, etc. But the story is to indicate there's a greater subtlety than we realize. Sadhu Ninda. I'll stop there. Just beg me one thing. We can all chant the verse together to end because I didn't do it at the beginning. Okay? And together, you ready? Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandika vidya varu jivanam anandam buddhi vardhanam prati vardhanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatarpita nimata smarane nakala itadrasi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisham mihajani nanuraja trinadapi sunichena toraravi sahishnana Amanina madanena kirtaniya sadahari nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitava jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvari bhavatad bhaktir ahoita kitvai ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram Pratitamam bishame bhavam buddhau kripaya tabapada pankaja stutadili sadisham vachintaya nayanam galarasa daraya vadanam gagadaya rudaya gira pulakai nichitam vabhukada tavanama grahane bhavishyati Yugayitam nameshena chakshusha pravashayitam sunyayitam jagat sarvam govindavrahena me aslishava pararatam panastumam adarshanam mamahatam karotuva yatatata bhavadadhatu lampato Mad prana nata su eva na para. Okay, someone read one of the verses. We'll rotate. Someone, quickly.
Glory to the Sankirtan, glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious.
O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names, O my Lord. Out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them.
One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should not be ready to offer respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire a beautiful woman, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your costless devotional service, birth after birth.
O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or another I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet.
O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on the end of recitation of your name?
O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence.
I know no one but Krishna as my Lord. He shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally.
Okay, just want to ask one question. My initial schedule was to finish it all in 3 days. I've done 2 verses. So after tomorrow, next week, it will be also here. After that, when it gets to the summer, in May, what does anybody think? Can people come on Wednesday?
Yeah, I can come.
What? Anybody have a problem with Wednesday? What? Like 7 to 9 or something?
I teach Mondays through Thursdays.
Oh. Okay. How's... Well, we'll send you the videos at least. What about if I do it sometime on Friday? Anybody can not come on Friday? What? Okay, so we'll do one on Friday and one on Wednesday. And Now... we have some nice sweets for those of you who are on a diet. Okay? So, including prasadam from Philadelphia. So come up and get the sweets. Come.